Some of those people you've certainly heard of before, but a few you haven't. All those people have one thing in common. They're just people. They're ordinary. They're just like you and I. But what separated them from many of us is that they were people that found a vision that they could grasp onto and believe in and embrace with their life. And that vision drove them to do things that would change the world. I read a story recently about a little league coach who was thinking about his childhood and what it was like when he played baseball. And so he pulled all the kids together in his first practice, and he had them all sit down, and he did just like his coach did. And he asked them, he remembered his coach bringing everybody together and asking all the guys on his team, how many of you want to be a Major League Baseball player? And every kid on his team raised their hand, because they all had dreams of being the one to hit the game-winning hit, or to pitch a shutout inning, or to do something great in baseball. So he thought he would do the same thing. He called all of his kids together after they had done practicing, and as they were throwing water bottles at each other, and he got them all to settle down, he said, how many of you want to play Major League Baseball? And not one kid raised their hand. You see, it's amazing how quickly dreams die and how those things die within us. What a contrast between vision, people who have vision and people don't. Vision is that elusive thing that dares us to dream big, dreams about the future. Vision has been called before a hope with a blueprint. Vision is what an inventor has when he or she thinks outside the box and develops something new. Vision is what a mother has when she looks at her newborn baby and imagines all that child could do when it grows up. Vision has a way of ignoring critics and chasing the dream, regardless of how many people can't say it can't be done. Consider these famous people who made famous predictions. Thomas Watson, the chairman of IBM in 1943, said, I think there is a market for maybe 5 computers in the entire world. Whoops. Ken Olson, president and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, said, there is no reason why anyone would want a computer in their home. Consider this Western Union memo from 1876 that said, the telephone has too many shortcomings and is seriously used as a means of communication. Or how about Decca Recording Company that said, we don't want to sign the Beatles in 1962. We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out. Or perhaps Charles Duhigg, that you've heard this before, the U.S. Patent Office, president of that, commissioner of that, in 1899, that says everything that can be invented has been invented. Think about this morning, that between the time when we started recording data and 2003, that amount of data that we collected is now collected every 2 days. That's how much data is out there. That's how much has grown and expanded in our universe. You get the idea. Vision has a way of ignoring those who say it can't be done and doing it anyway. It's what Christopher Columbus did. Whenever every day in his journal he said, we sailed on, but he sailed on. And that's what vision is. And so in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom in Proverbs, we have a verse that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law is happy. Now, I read that for you and have that as the King James Version. I grew up in the country. That's the one we used until the NIV came along and we finally started using that one. But I like how it says it there in the King James, where there is no vision, the people perish. The Message Bible says it this way. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Another translation says this, if a nation is not guided by God, the people will lose self-control, but the nation that obeys God's law will be happy. With the recent acts of terror and violence in our world, it's easy to see why we need a clear vision, isn't it? With all that's going on around us and all the need, and every time you turn the TV on, there's another tragic event. The world needs a clear vision. You see, we can't control how we came into this world, but we can help how we leave it. Without a vision, people perish. The word vision means sight. It means to dream. It means revelation or enlightenment. To perish means to die or expire. The question this morning that we must answer is, do we as a church have a vision? And if so, what is that vision? What is our vision? Well, you've heard it, you've seen it, you've read about it. It's in your bulletin this morning. If you'll flip it open on the right-hand side there, it's inside. But I want to go over it this morning and break it down a little more. It says, what is our vision? The vision of New Life Vineyard Church is to be great at three things. Reaching the, and then least, reaching the little, and reaching the. The first part of that statement is our vision says to be great. To be great. Now we're going to focus on the least, the little, and the lost in a minute. But I want to talk about the beginning of that statement and why it's important. To be great. To be great is not to be okay. It's not even to be good. To be great means to considerably above the normal or average. Whenever I was in high school and even in college, I played basketball and I was okay. I didn't get a scholarship. I never played in the NBA. That was my kind of a childhood dream. I was probably a little average. Michael Jordan was great. You see the contrast there. Average, good, okay. Great. There's a big separation there. So the first part of our vision is that we're to be great at this mission and this vision. Then our vision speaks about the idea of reaching. To reach means to stretch out an arm in a specific direction in order to grasp or touch something. I always think of my children when they were little, when they finally got big enough to start reaching for stuff. Those of you that are parents and have had children, you remember those days when we had our kids all in this little bug device that swiveled around. And for a while, they would just kind of sit there and halfway. But then finally, they figured something out. And their little feet would start pushing them around and they would start reaching. And next thing you know, you had to put everything away because there was nothing that was going to be out of their reach. They were grasping and stretching. And so the second part of our vision is to the idea of reaching out and actually stretching. It's about going to them. Reaching is going toward an object, not an object coming to you. It's the idea of grasping and going for it. And so to be great at stretching ourselves to reach is our calling and our purpose and our vision. You see, our vision's more than a slogan. It's not just some cute little phrase that we came up with one day. It's our passion. It's our calling. It's why we're here. It's our calling and our purpose. I asked Pastor Ken, and because I've only been here for a little over a year as a pastor, and I asked Pastor Ken, how did we arrive at this vision statement? Did we call for a committee? Did we have a meeting? How did we get to this vision statement? And Pastor Ken said, no, actually, it just was what God gave us. It's who we were. It's what our church did. It's what our church looked like. And so that's why we adopted it, because it's what God called us to be. It's not a slogan. It's our calling. It's our purpose. It's our future dream and present purpose. So the first part of that vision is to reach the least. Who are the least? People overlooked. People under love, people forgotten, those in needs with broken lives. 22.5% of people living in Hamilton are living in poverty. That's nearly 1 in 4 people. We're to be great at reaching out to the poor, the hungry, and the homeless. I think we're good. I think we do a good job. I think we invest a lot of time into it. But our challenge is to be great. Our challenge is to go a step further. And that's the beautiful thing about a vision. A vision should always stretch you. It's a future, but it's always something that drives you forward. So the first one's to be great at reaching the poor. The next thing is reaching the little. Did you enjoy the VBS clip? That was great. That was really neat. All the kids getting together and singing the songs and having the crafts and all the stuff they learned. VBS is an important ministry of our church. And we're good at it. And we're good at reaching our children and teens by shaping their culture, being shaped by culture and the world and all the influences that are out there. And there's a lot of influences on today's kids. A lot of influences. A lot of influences that are negative and destructive and destroying their lives. And if we don't get them when they're little, we may not get them at all. And so our second challenge is to be great at reaching our youth and our children. The third part of our challenge is reaching the lost. Reaching the lost. The lost are unchurched and underchurched people that have no meaningful relationship to Christ or His church. We have 230,000 unchurched people in Butler County. 230,000 people in Butler County that don't know Christ. Now, our job and our calling is probably not to reach them all, but we should try to. And so one of the things we're going to do that is we're going to do prayer walks on September 11th. So one of the ways you can help reach the lost is by praying for them in your neighborhood. To get out and interact with them, the unchurched people of Butler County, and there are, just a little math, there are 333 churches in Butler County. And so if everybody went to church on a Sunday morning in Butler County, there would be 11,105 people in every church. And so how I look at that is we're responsible for how many people? 1,105 people. That's the vision. And it's not about filling this building. And it's not about, you know, having a big crowd. It's about what we're called to do to reach people who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ, whose lives are filled with pain and brokenness, many of which are held by addictions. It's amazing how many people in our state that have an addiction or a drug problem. We, at our place where I worked, the auto auction, we had a reasonable suspicion counselor come in and talk to us to help us understand what people look like when they're addicted to pain pills or heroin or other types of drugs. And as she talked to us, the statistics she gave us, where she said it's estimated that over 15% of people who live in Ohio are addicted to pain pills or heroin or some sort of a drug. The harvest is plentiful. There's a great need out there. And our third calling, our third vision statement is to be great at reaching people who need salvation, who need healing, and who are broken. But this morning, what I want to do is I think one of the things we need to do is have a vision renewal. See, what happens with our vision statement and our vision is over time, our vision begins to fade. Over time, the vision leaks. And it's something we can't talk about enough. We've got to continue focus on what our target is and our vision statement is and why we're here. There's a lot of reasons why the vision statement fades. There's a lot of reasons why we forget our vision and what God has called us to do. But I want to highlight three big ones. The first one is that we are busy, busy, busy with life. Is anyone here not busy? Because I've got some stuff I can give you to do. We're all busy, busy, busy. Some of you right now are thinking about all the stuff you have to do when you get home. Bills that need to be paid, laundry that never ends, grocery, grass that needs cut, well, at least watered probably. There's so much to do. The busyness of life causes the vision to fade. And one of the ways the enemy of your soul and my soul keeps us ineffective and unproductive and keeps us from doing the vision that God's called us to do is he just keeps us busy. We're little hamsters that run in a wheel, and all we do is run around in a circle over and over and over again. And we don't get anywhere. Busyness. You know, the lie of technology has always intrigued me. Back whenever I was younger in the late 70s, early 80s, they would talk about how technology was going to transform our lives. It was going to make our lives so much easier and so much better. And we would have so much more time and so much less stress. If you go to Disney World, they've got this Carousel Progress. And that's one of the things it talks about is, man, when we get all these gadgets and doodads and whatchamacallits, we'll be able to sit back and enjoy life. Didn't work out that way. We are kept busy. The second reason that we lose focus is because of distractions. In addition to being busy, we live in a world full of distractions. Not all distractions are bad. Wait a minute, let me take this. Yeah, well, I'm preaching right now. Okay, I'll get back to you. That was a bad pun, I know, I'm sorry. But if we don't manage our distractions, they will consume us. Whether it's the television set, or whether it's the internet, or whether it's social media, the list goes on and on. And I realize it takes a lot of time to keep up with the Kardashians, pick the next American Idol and Bachelor. Well, at least the Reds are bad this season. You don't have to watch them. Sorry. But we're consumed with distractions. And if we're not careful, the distractions will take your time and your energy and your mind. And that's all you have left. It takes it all away from you. Between the busyness and the distractions, we're consumed. But perhaps the greatest reason our vision fades, and perhaps the reason we forget the vision so quickly, is probably the worst of all, is neglect. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says this: "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape by the Lord to be first spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us who have heard him? God also bearing witness both signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" The picture here is of drifting away. It's the danger of neglect, is the danger of drifting. Imagine a young boy going down to the river to use his boat. And he goes out and he goes fishing in his boat, and when he's finished, he takes the boat and he ties it to the shore. He goes in up to his house, and it's dinner time, and the boat's still tied up to the shore, but then summer's over and it's time to go back to school. And time passes a little bit later, and suddenly he's back to summer again, because it just seems like it's only yesterday and we'll be in another season. And he goes down to the shore and the boat is gone. Nobody stole the boat. Nobody took the boat away. What happened was he neglected the boat. Eventually the rope that held the boat began to rot and began to fray, and then the currents just took it away. The power of neglect is a powerful thing. And if we're not careful, we can neglect the vision, neglect your relationships with God, neglect our relationships with others, neglect the calling that God has given us, and it will all fade away. It's so simple just to neglect it. Because we're busy, because we're distracted, we save so little time to do this thing that God has called us to do. We neglect it, and it fades away. You see, our vision is dependent upon you. Everyone has a calling and purpose. We cannot achieve the vision of being great at reaching the little, the lost, and the least. We can't be great at that without your help. Our vision is dependent upon you. Everyone has a purpose and calling. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians when he talks about the body of Christ. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Paul unpacks this illustration about God the kingdom of God and the church and its people. And he talks about it in terms of our physical body, and it's easy for us to understand. You see, we are all part of this body. We are one body. We're not many bodies, we're one. That's the body of Christ. And we need to be one body in unity to fulfill the vision God has given us. We don't have time to have little spats and little disagreements and little opinions about things. We've got a vision to complete. We've got a task to achieve. We're called to something bigger than our petty differences. The body doesn't fight amongst itself and its people. You see, we are part of one body. We are one. And we need to be one body in unity to fulfill the vision God has given us. Every body, part of the body has a purpose. You are part of the body, so you have a purpose. And your purpose is critical to the mission. We can't do it without you. One of the values of the vision, one of the values of the Vineyard Ministry of Movement was that everybody got to play. Everybody gets their hands dirty. Everybody gets involved. It's not Nathaniel's job. It's not Ken's job. It's not Jay's job. It's not the people you see volunteering on Sunday morning's job. It's all of our jobs to achieve the vision. We're all called to be part of it. And it's mission critical. We can't do it without you. If any part of the body fails, it affects the entire body. 1 Corinthians, a little bit further down in that passage, it says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If you go out, if you don't believe me, go out and kick the door frame and stub your toe. Now, your toe's way down far on the body. We've all done it. When you walk by and you stub your toe on something that your spouse left out. Sorry, Char. When you stub your toe, it hurts your entire body. Or if you get a splinter or a little bee sting, it affects your entire body. Everything suffers. When one part of the body fails, the entire body fails. And at the same time, When you're feeling good and you get a good night's sleep and you get up and you're energetic, your entire body feels it. The entire body's honored. You see, the only way we achieve the vision is if the entire body works together. We win together, we lose together. We need to be great at reaching the lost, the little, and the least together. I love this quote. And I'm going to show on the screen a great quote from Helen Keller, who was born blind, deaf, was once asked, what would be worse than being born blind? To which she said, having sight without a vision. Without a vision. Lastly, I want to challenge you more personally. I want to challenge you to embrace the vision and join the fight. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and said, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You see, the reality, folks, our fight is not about who's going to be the next president or who will win the World Series. It's not even about your 401k or if your child will be the son of the, your son will be the captain of the football team. It's a war. It's a war against evil. It's a war against darkness. It's a war against the enemy of our souls and the enemy of the souls of man that wants to destroy them. I want to challenge you to embrace the vision and the fight. I've got another video I want to show you real quickly this morning.
Every day on the way to school, I stop at Sonic. And when you do that every day for a whole school year, you get to know the girl behind the window. That started the relationship with Sandra. And I'd check in on her. She was a single mother trying to make it. I lost touch with her for a few months. My job changed. in those 3 months, I was doing my morning Bible study, and this devotional I was doing said to consider 3 people in your life who didn't know the Lord. I couldn't come up with 3 people. And I became completely convicted that my circle of influence was too small, that there were people around me that were hurting to know Jesus. I didn't see him. I was too busy. So I simply prayed that God would open my eyes. And if I saw people with a need, I promised God that I would do whatever I could to help be the hands and feet of Jesus to them. 2 days later, I stopped at Sonic, and Sandra was there, but she was in a world of hurt. She and her kids were living on the street. So my family and I started trying to meet her needs, tried to find her housing. We helped her get a better job. But a single mom working all those hours, she had a hard time getting everything done. She put her laundry in the back of her car, and I'd go by in the afternoons to pick it up and do her laundry. I just wanted to make it a little bit easier for her, and hopefully in the process, show her Jesus. It has changed everything about my life and my family. When I pray with my kids every night, my daughter and I pray thankfulness for the blessings we're given, but also every night we pray that God makes us grateful people, because that's what it's shown me, is how blessed I am. And because of the amount of blessing, how responsible I am to not hoard the blessing, but to give it away. And it astounds my kids. The other day we went through the drive-through, and out of nowhere, the girl who often fills our drinks in the afternoon, out of nowhere she said she needed a bed. And I said, well, I can ask around, I can see if somebody's got a spare bed. As we drove away, my son looked at me in astonishment. He goes, Mom, why do these people ask you these things in the drive-thru? And I told him, it's because I prayed that God would show me the needs that people have around me. So if it means the girl in the drive-thru needs a bed, and I can take her a bed and tell her about Jesus and why it is that I want to love her, then that's what we do.
I want to invite the band to come up, worship band. We're going to do a closing number in a minute. You know, we sometimes make it so complicated. Amen. We make it so sophisticated. We've got to have a 4-point plan. We got to have, you know, a system, and it's got to be really hard to do. But it's not. It's about loving people enough to get involved. At a drive-through window, at a Sonic, in your neighborhood, in your backyard, there are people all around us that are hurting that need Jesus. One of my favorite illustrations, I love this illustration and it haunts me as I think about it, is a story about a little boy named Johnny. Little Johnny grew up in the country and went to a little country church. You know the type that looks like a postcard, a white, beautiful building, the steeple on top and a bell that rang every Sunday morning letting people know church was starting, beautiful flowers out front, well-manicured, beautiful parking lot. And he would go to this church, and they decided to have a VBS, and he decided he would go. And so he was in VBS all week, and as the week wrapped up in VBS, they had a little craft or project. And their craft or project was to make a banner which would hang in the sanctuary of the church. They were going to take a Bible verse and make this beautiful banner, Johnny thought it was really cool, and their verse was Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Johnny had no idea what that meant, but he liked cutting up the felt letters, and he liked gluing them on. And then the Sunday morning came after VBS was done, and they all presented their banners to the church, and Johnny thought it was really cool when everybody stood up and clapped for the banner they had made. Well, Johnny, years go by, and Johnny grows up, goes off to college, and moves away. Now little Johnny prefers to be called John. He rarely goes to church anymore, and he's moved away from that area, but one summer day as he was passing through on business, he decided he would drive out to that little country church. And so he drove his car up the dusty road, and then when he got there, he was brokenhearted to see that the church was now broken down. The paint was chipping off the sides of the church. The parking lot was full of weeds. The stained glass windows, which once were so beautiful, were now shot up with pellet guns. The church was dark, but Johnny decided he would try to go inside anyway. So he walked up to the front door, and with some resistance, he was able to push it open and go inside. He walked down the aisles of the church he grew up in, and all the memories flooded back to his mind. And as he walks down one aisle, he looks over and sees that banner is hanging on the wall that he made when he was in VBS as a little kid. So he walks up to the banner and he kind of dusts it off to read it. And he reads these words, "Here there is no vision. The people perish." The W had fallen off. One letter. Where there is no vision, the people perish. To hear there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, if we don't have a vision, if you don't have a vision for your children and for your family and your lost loved ones and your neighbors, they will perish. As we sing this song, "As God Deals With Your Heart," I invite you to come and pray. Stand together.